So, if you haven't gathered already from that reading, we're going to take a look at Samuel today and a few lessons that we can learn from Samuel. So Samuel was the son of Elkanah, who was a Levite. If you don't know who the Levites were, they were priests, and son of Hannah. And every year, Elkanah and Hannah, they'd go to Shiloh, where people would gather together to worship God. You may remember we looked at Shiloh a few weeks back. And Hannah hasn't been able to have a child. And remember that in that time, the women, they were expected to have children, often judged by their ability to bear and conceive children. And the sons carried on the family line. And we read that Hannah is taunted by another wife of Elkanah, Peninnah. This is 1 Samuel chapter 1. And Peninnah rubs it in, never let Hannah forget that God hasn't given her children. And in fact, Peninnah taunts Hannah to the point where Hannah can't eat and is in tears. And we could say, if we look at verse 8 of 1 Samuel 1, that Elkanah's trying to cheer Hannah up a bit, trying to comfort Hannah a bit. And Hannah pulls herself together, and what does she do? She enters the sanctuary and lets out her deep anguish to God. 1 Samuel verse 10, crushed in soul, Hannah prayed to God and cried inconsolably. And Eli, the priest, he jumps to the conclusion that Hannah's drunk, so, you know, she's been bullied and now she's being misunderstood. And Hannah says to him, no, I'm a woman who's brokenhearted. I haven't been drinking. The only thing that I've been pouring out is my heart, pouring it out to God, because I'm so desperately unhappy and in such pain that I've stayed here so long. Hannah knew where to go and where to stay up for a while in prayer when she was in this deep anguish. May we also remember that in our pain, whatever kind of pain or level of pain that we may feel or go through, that it is safe to move towards God with it and to express it to God, and he sees and understands. And the taunting that Hannah experienced went on year after year, and we may experience situations that go on year after year. But in this lonely time, Hannah went towards the source of her help, to God. Was it right for her to have this attitude of desperation? Well, what about the Psalms of Lament? In fact, what about Psalm 6, where David says, Psalm 6, verse 6 to 7, I'm tired of all this, so tired. My bed has been floating 40 days and nights on the flood of my tears. My mattress is soaked, soggy with tears. The sockets of my eyes are black holes. Nearly blind, I squint and grope. David went through years of running for his life from King Saul. We think about 8 to 10 years. And he was running for his life. Saul was trying to kill him. But David took his concerns to God, his discouragement to God, knowing that he could be fully honest before God and that God was his source of help and comfort. And we see that David expresses how he feels to God, and he comes back to the promises of God and focuses back on who God is. God doesn't want us to put on a false attitude to him. He wants to know how we feel, and you should never feel that you have to put on a face when you come to church. It doesn't mean that there aren't times when it's good for yourself to try and take a positive attitude, but on the other hand, you can never have a miracle unless you admit your need first. And coming towards God in the state that you are to start with is a great place to start towards a miracle. And as you know the story, Hannah gets hers. Now, I'm not saying that you should walk to the front and ask for the mic and sob all over the congregation with your pain, but neither do you have to put on a false face. You don't have to pretend that you don't need help. You can ask for prayer and we'll pray for you, we'll pray with you. We do that on a Sunday, as you know, but there are other times when you can call myself, call Pastor Steve, if you need some prayer, and we'll pray with you. So, if you're experiencing heartbreak, take it to God. Pour out your heart to God. Have some quiet times with Him. Invite Him to help you. If in your pain or heartbreak, you're tempted or you're confused or you're thinking about throwing in the towel, let me tell you, God can help you in ways that nothing and nobody else can, even those closest to you. So the next morning, after pouring out her heart to God, Hannah gets up and worships. And note, she's just continuing to worship God, to trust Him, and to be thankful despite the situation, despite what she's been going through year after year. And we see later Hannah gets her miracle and has Samuel. And Hannah keeps her promise that she's made to God of setting Him apart for a life of holy discipline. And she takes Samuel up to Shiloh. We know that Samuel was very young when he was taken to Shiloh and was dedicated to God and brought to Eli. Eli, who's the same priest that saw Hannah praying before when she was pouring her heart out. And you would hope that Eli is going to be this great example to Samuel, and that Samuel's going to be surrounded by people caring for him and encouraging him in the right ways. But here's the thing. Eli's sons were nothing but trouble, 1 Samuel 2:12. And the Hebrew word used to describe them is Belial, which means wicked, evil. They were stealing, taking advantage of the women who helped at the sanctuary. They were violent. They were threatening violence. They were awful to the people. They had no regard for God and could not have cared less about the customs of priests among the people. This is Shiloh, the worship centre. This is supposed to be a great church community, a place of worship, of safety and respect for God and one another. And what's really bad is that Eli knows about what's happening and he's not dealing with it. But we read in verse 18, in the midst of all this, Samuel serves God. In the midst of all this, Samuel serves God. It must have been rather discouraging for Samuel. This was going on for years, not just a few weeks. And Samuel would only get to see his mum and dad once a year. But Samuel continued to serve God. He was the different one. He continued to do right when those around him were doing wrong. And there are times when we may be surrounded by that which is not good. And sometimes there may be specific situations that we're having to deal with or face for a long time. Maybe at school, at work, even in the place that we live. So it's good for us to meet together, to encourage one another, to spur one another on, Hebrews 10:25, and to pray for one another. And as Paul says, to keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going as Jesus' return approaches. How many of you know it's a good habit to get into to remind ourselves and one another of the promises of God? And, you know, we may have a visual reminder that we want to put on our walls, on our fridge, our phones or our mirror. And we might just want to read through and remind ourselves on a daily basis of God's promises, His promise of salvation and eternal life. John 3:16, Romans 10:9 to 10. Victory over sin and death. 1 Corinthians 15:57, Romans 8:37 to 39. Everlasting love, Jeremiah 31:3, Psalm 136:1. God's presence and guidance and strengthening of us, Isaiah 41:10, Hebrews 13:5. Revelations 22, that Jesus is coming back and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Nothing can take away these promises. Sadly, we live in a world where there is corruption, there is much evil, there is much heartbreak, there is much discouragement. But the promises of God are greater. Yeah. On our worst days, in our hardest times, nothing can take away the promises of God that he has for us. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20, NIV translation. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. And like Pastor Steve said when we were singing Total Praise the other week, and we keep singing the amen, sometimes we need to remember to say that amen. And perhaps we might need to just take a moment to encourage ourselves, encouraging ourselves, reminding ourselves of God's promises. We might even want to keep a journal of how God has helped us through difficult times in the past, things that he's spoken to us, said to us. And in some of our tough times, we can look through that journal and just remind ourselves of what God has spoken, of who he is. Of course, the best thing is to just look at our Bibles, but it may help us sometimes to remember what God has done for us personally. So let's keep an eye out for one another. We don't always know what one another's facing, do we, or going through, or having to deal with day after day. So let's just check on one another and look for ways that we can help each other and help each other be strong, help each other be a Samuel in our generation. We might just want to do something simple, like make a cup of tea for someone. Did you know that sometimes that can really mean a lot to someone, just making them a cup of tea, getting them a coffee, offering to cook them a healthy meal, asking them how we can pray for them, praying for them, praying with them. And perhaps this week we could reach out to someone that we don't normally speak to with the goal of listening to them and encouraging them in some way. So Samuel carries on with his duties and serving God despite what's going on. And we get to chapter 3 and read that Eli's asleep. Samuel's in bed in the temple, and Samuel hears his name being called, and 2 times he runs to Eli thinking that it's Eli that's called him, and then the 3rd time it dawns on Eli that this is God calling Samuel, and so he says to Samuel, go back and lie down, and if you hear the voice again, say, you know, speak God, I'm your servant, ready to listen. So Samuel returns to his bed, and God calls him again, and Samuel says, speak, I'm your servant, ready to listen. And God says here about how he's going to bring down on Eli's family everything that he warned him of, that he's going to bring judgment on the family for good, that he knew, that Eli knew what was going on and he did nothing to stop them. Eli's sons, they've had chances to change, but they've chosen to carry on in their evil ways. God gives humanity a chance to change, a chance to repent, to turn away from darkness and to come into the light. 2 Peter 3:9, we know that God's holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. Let's be careful about what we allow into our lives and what we allow into our homes. Are there things that we need to address and deal with? Perhaps even things that we've become numb to or blinded to because they've been going on so long. Is there a stronghold in our life that's built up one brick at a time, perhaps over a long period of time? We don't even realise maybe that it's there and that we need to deal with it. All this corruption had been allowed in, and it was allowed to continue. And the fact that Eli couldn't recognise that Hannah was a woman in distress and he just thought that she was a drunkard perhaps gives an indication of how bad things were. And also how Eli could no longer see things clearly as they really were anymore. Eli knew what was going on. God warned him, but he's not handled things. And I'm sure that we can probably all think of a situation or two in our world where things were not handled as they should have been handled. And we may not be able to always trust our governments, even our justice systems, but we can trust in God that he will deal with evil in the end. And God takes evil seriously. That's why the sacrificial system existed. And there is a day when everyone will have to face God and we will all have to give account. And what we do have control over is our own lives, how we choose to treat others and go about things. Our actions matter. Ecclesiastes 12:14, 2 Corinthians 5:10, Romans 14:12. So let's keep mindful of repentance in our own lives and reward. Matthew 16. We know that we have the righteousness of Christ, Romans 5:19, but we need to always be working to improve our behaviour. And this is a constant process, isn't it, of self-evaluation, of asking God to examine our hearts and help us to identify any areas that we may need to deal with. And repentance is a process, isn't it, of acknowledging our mistakes, of acknowledging our wrongdoing and turning away from that, turning towards God. Before God speaks to Samuel in 3:3, the word says, in those days the word of the Lord was rare. How sad. And this is Shiloh, the word of the Lord was rare. But Samuel, what a good job he's listening and living a life of obedience. He's dedicated to God and he's ready not just to listen, but to obey. Samuel grows up, God's with him, and the word tells us that his prophetic record was flawless. Samuel really did listen carefully to what God said. He obeyed and delivered the word of God. And everyone in Israel recognized that Samuel was the real thing. He was a true prophet of God. What a wonderful thing. Here's a man who is the real thing, a man of integrity. He's not joined in the corruption. He's not allowed himself to be polluted by evil, but he's remained different. He's stayed dedicated to God. He's not thrown the towel in, but he's continued through these difficult times to serve God, and God is with him. We should all seek to be a Samuel in our generation, a Samuel in our workplace, a Samuel in our place of study. Wherever we are, we can be that person who isn't tainted by corruption, who doesn't just say or do the easy thing or the thing that everyone else would do. And perhaps there are some practical steps that we can take at home. We can just keep a check on what our eyes are looking at, what our ears are listening to. We can just ask God to continue to direct and guide us, that we would be set aside for him, that we would show a different and better way. So, let's take our discouragements, heartbreaks and disappointments to God. And in fact, we see a later instance in 1 Samuel 15:10 where Samuel's angry about Saul and he prays out his disappointment to God. The word said Samuel prayed out his disappointment. Keep choosing to do right, even when it's tough, even when you're the only one. Remember that there is a day when we all have to give account. We have to face God, and let's remember there is a reward for our obedience. And I don't know about you, but when I reach that day, I want to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. Listen carefully to what God says. Get his word into you and live it to be a true follower of Jesus in our generation. Samuel didn't just hear the word. He lived a life of obedience, even though it was lonely, even though it was tough. And that's what we need to do, live a life of obedience. We need to listen and to respond. And let's actively look for ways to encourage and support one another so that we can help each other along our journeys to be Samuels in our generation. Let's pray. Lord, help us to be a Samuel in our generation. To be people of integrity who are not afraid to be different. To be fully dedicated to you. To continue to serve you when we face difficult times. To hear exactly what you're saying and to have the courage to share your word and to live a life of obedience. For all those in this room or listening online to this recording, for all those who perhaps feel dirty, who realise that they've been living in a way that is not right, thank you, Jesus, that you can make us clean inside, that you give us another chance for a new beginning and a new life in you. God, thank you that we can turn to you in all of our troubles, all our challenges, knowing that you care for us, that you are and will continue to be our source of strength, and because of you, we can make it through whatever we face. We give you all the praise. Amen.